Welcome to Silence the Mind Cluck. I'm your host, Maria T. Finch, and I'm super glad that you're here. Get ready to quiet that mind and reap the rewards. All right. Good morning, everyone. Happy Monday. I'm Maria Finch. I'm an inner intelligence coach, and I am so happy to have Paul Levitin here with me today. Paul, welcome.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me, Maria. I'm super excited to be here as well.
Awesome. So to start out with, tell us a bit about you.
Yeah, for sure. I'd love that. So I'm a coach as well. I am a self-confidence coach specifically. Okay. I started working about 10 years ago in the health and wellness field. I was a personal trainer, then a nutrition coach. And I did that for about 8 years. But through that, I started to get very interested in mindset and the mental side of wellness, because, you know, as a personal trainer, as a nutrition coach, the question that kept coming up to me was, well, why is this stuff so hard? Yeah. Right? You know, like lifting weights is physically hard, but why is it that when we know what to do, we still have such a problem doing it, right? Why is it that someone could come to me when I was a personal trainer? I could say, here's your workouts, but they wouldn't do it. Why is it that someone could say, tell me how to lose weight, and I would tell them and they wouldn't do it. And not just other people, myself too, right? Why do we all struggle with this stuff? And so I started to go more down the road of human behavior, behavioral sciences, and things like that. And that's how I started to work with people on self-confidence, because I realized that that was kind of the real goal that everyone had, right? When they went, whether it's lose weight, have more money, have a better relationship, we want to just be more confident people, confident in ourselves, confident in our abilities. So now I work with people one-on-one as a coach. I also have my own podcast called The Happy Healthy Human. Oh, and great. It's all just about that, you know, helping people be happier, healthier humans.
That's wonderful. So tell us about a time in your life when you faced a challenge and you had tons of mind cluck. And just so to start with, just tell us about what that situation was.
Yeah, for sure. So there's something that is super top of mind for me. I mean, this is everything, right? All the time. That's the whole thing about mind cluck, is it's all the time, all the decisions we make. But specifically, it was around just about a year ago. I had been working as a personal trainer. I had been working as a nutrition coach. I was working at a gym in Brooklyn where I was living at the time. And I was managing the gym as well. So I had a job as a trainer, as a coach, and then also managing the gym. And then I was also on the side starting my own business, my own coaching business that was all virtual. And then when COVID happened, the gym shut down and I went heavier into my own online business. But then gyms reopened and I had this business that I was growing on the side. And then I had my job and my career that I had been working at for 8 years. And I knew that I had to make a decision and kind of pick one of the two. And I knew that I wanted to go in one direction, which was to go into all in on my business. But there was a lot of, as you say, mind cluck, chatter, a lot of, you know, stuff there where it's like, well, can I really do this? Can I quit my job? Should I quit my job? It's a good job. I have a salary. I have health insurance. And so there were all these reasons that kept coming up of, you know, why not to do it. And they weren't like excuses, because they were valid reasons, right? There was a lot of, you know, it was, you know, it wasn't just like me trying to make excuses. It was that, but it was like, they were valid excuses. And that is one of the things that is, you know, I always try to emphasize with people. I'm like, excuses are real, you know? So in that situation, it wasn't like me just trying to get out of doing the hard work of starting a business. It was probably subconsciously that in some way, but there, you know, there was a lot of pros and cons on both sides. And I labored with that for several months of, you know, went back to my job. I was working full time at the gym, and then I was working on my business on the side, which is what a lot of people do. And that was fine. But at a point I realized that I was kind of half-assing both things. I wasn't giving my full attention or energy to either one. And everyone was suffering, myself included, my clients included. And, you know, I knew I had to make a decision, but just in that decision that I knew I had to make took me like 3 or 4 months to finally build up the courage to, you know, put in my notice at the gym, to quit, to leave, to go all in, and really make that decision. So that was super challenging. And, you know, it was a time where like I was battling internally inside my own head for quite a while.
So tell us, I mean, that is that I think that there are probably many people who can relate to that experience, particularly in the timeline of COVID, where so many people had to shift their focus. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait, this is another option and whatever. So tell us about what did you do, number one, to start recognizing like, okay, what my mind is telling me might be true on the one hand, but on the other hand, does it serve me well? So what did you do to sort of start to narrow down and get to a point where you felt confident and comfortable making a choice?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's two sides of this. One is the actual technical side, right? I said that's like the tangible things of like, is this a real thing, right? So there's a point of like, I want to start a business. I want to be an entrepreneur, but you know, everyone wants that because they see the freedom and the laptop lifestyle and blah, blah, blah. But is it a real thing? But once I get past that boundary, that barrier where it's like, okay, I actually am making money from this. People will pay me for this. This is a real business. This isn't just in my imagination. Then what's holding me back is, again, it's the fear, it's the uncertainty, and it's all that stuff. And, you know, something I think about a lot is everything in life comes down to a binary decision at a certain point, right? It's yes or no. Mm-hmm. Do or don't, right? Yeah, it is or it isn't. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, we are usually faced with two options, and one is harder and one is easier. And always our natural inclination is to go with the easier thing because that is safety, right? That is our brain trying to keep us safe. But always, and I haven't found yet a example that goes against this rule, always the harder thing is the thing that we're probably supposed to do. Right? We want to choose the easier thing because it's easier, but the harder thing is the thing that we don't want to do because it's harder. And we want the easier thing to be the right answer, but it almost never is. So I use that as a guiding light, as a principle. So in this situation, what I wanted to do was stay at the gym. What I wanted to do was keep my salary, was to keep making the easy money. It was still work, but it was guaranteed as opposed to going all in on my business and taking that leap. But because I felt that way, I knew that that was what I was supposed to do. I knew that the thing I was trying to keep myself safe from was the thing that I was supposed to do in my heart. And I was just trying to find reasons not to do it. So that's always, you know, the thing when whether it's quitting my job, moving. So I was, before we started recording, I was telling you that I've been traveling a lot. So when I quit my job, I also went nomad where I've left my everything. And I've just been traveling the country for the last 6 months in my car. That, again, big decision. There's a lot of reasons against it, but the very fact that I was trying to find reasons in my head not to do it was the thing that told me, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. So I use that as a guiding light because it's our safety mechanism, right? It's your brain's number one rule is keep you alive, keep you safe, keep you alive. Mm-hmm. So it's always going to tell you, right? Do the easier thing. That's watch another episode of Netflix instead of going for a workout. That's, you know, eat the hamburger instead of eating the salad. That's go to sleep angry instead of having that hard conversation with your spouse. But in all of those situations, the thing that's harder that we want to avoid is probably the thing that we're supposed to do. So that's always what's like going on in my head in those times.
So did you do any kind of exercises or whatever to help you drill down on what you really wanted and to become, to gain feelings of security in making what you're lining up as the harder choices?
Yeah. So, I mean, I do a lot of vision casting type stuff, right? What is the life that I want to build? What is my, you know, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, where do I want to be?
And tell us, give us some detail about that. So some people might not know what vision casting means.
Sure. So it's, specifically exactly, right? Creating that big vision. So, you know, you can think about goal setting. And goal setting, I think, is great for the short to medium term. But having big goals, a five-year goal, a year goal, a 10-year goal, it actually becomes a little overwhelming because we don't have a lot of control over what's actually going on, right? We don't have control. If I made a five-year goal in 2019, now it's 2022, like nothing that I would have had as my goal would have came true because the world was flipped on its head.
Right.
So goals are great. But when I say vision casting, it's more about just having that big vision of like, what do I want my life to look like? And that's like removing all barriers, all constraints. If I could just, you know, rub a magic genie lamp and wish for my dream life 5 years from now, what does that look like? And I think that that's important because so many people don't have that. And it's very hard, if not outright impossible, to end up at a destination that you don't set out for. Meaning we don't accidentally mm-hmm. happen upon success, right? So you have to know, you have to be able, I can picture in my mind's eye what that successful life looks like. And then I can work backwards and build it from there.
And when you're creating this vision, do you write it down? Is it all just in your mind? Do you like create a vision board, you know, with photos and whatever? How do you approach that?
Yeah, I do. I write it down. So I have journals, I have notebooks. I have a worksheet that I give to my clients that I use myself, usually like once a year or something to retouch on these things. If anyone watching or listening wants this, I will give it to anyone for free. If you just send me a message on Instagram or something like that, I'll shoot it over to you. But it's really just asking myself, again, where do I want to look like? If I, again, went to sleep today and woke up 5 years from now, what would my life have to look like to make me say everything went the way that it's supposed to do? So when I do this, I think about literally waking up in the morning. So I wake up in the morning, I open my eyes. What do I see? What does my bedroom mm-hmm. look like? Where mm-hmm. am I? Am I living on the East mm-hmm. Coast? Am I living on the West Coast? Am I living in a cold climate? Am I living in a warm climate? Is there a person next to me? Am I by myself? How many dogs do I have? Am I on the second floor? Am I on the first floor? What's the first thing I do when I get out of bed? For me, I have two dogs, right? And I want to walk down, start making my coffee, and then go take my dogs out in our big backyard and play fetch for 30 minutes before I even have to start my day. But now mm-hmm. understanding that, it's like, okay, like, what does that mean? It means that I have to be in a place where I can wake up comfortably and not have to rush straight out to work, right? So I'm not rushing to work at 6 o'clock in the morning. It means right. I'm in control of my life to a certain extent in terms of being able to live in this way. So again, once I start to see this picture, I start to be able to build, what does that mean? Where are the places I have to get today, next week, next month, in order to 5 years from now be in that place?
Yeah, one of the things I love about visualizations like that is that I really believe that when you create a vision like that, your subconscious starts to work towards it. And so even though you might not be realizing that you're taking steps every day, you're taking steps every day. So for everybody listening, just sort of setting the vision, setting the intention is sort of the first way to start heading that direction. And what other exercises do you use and do?
So, I mean, I have a lot of different things. Again, it's as you just said, it's not that any of this stuff is magical, right? I don't think right. that creating a five-year vision actually makes it happen. It's more about programming your subconscious, right? It's, you know, the whole thing about, you know, you never see a blue Subaru until you buy a blue Subaru. And now you see blue Subarus everywhere on the road, right? It's because your brain is now in tune to seeing that thing. So if I in tune myself to positivity, to gratitude, to whatever else, my brain will just be more conscious and pick those things up. So gratitude is a huge one, right? A gratitude journal or a gratitude practice is huge because, you know, I love this where, you know, for myself, for my clients, I always have people do gratitude because it's like, when you first start a gratitude practice, say you do three things you're grateful for every morning or every night, or even one thing, whatever it is. It's like the first day, it's like, okay, I'm grateful for my parents. I'm grateful for my kids. I'm grateful for my spouse. But after a week or two, like you start to run out of those like easy ones, right? And now it's like, I have to start actually thinking about what am I grateful for? Once I'm grateful for the roof over my head. I'm grateful for food on my plate, like, duh. But then it's like, well, what can I be grateful for today? Can I be grateful for the guy who cut me off in traffic because I'm not in a rush so much to get anywhere in my life? You know, can I be grateful for the fact that I was sick because it means that I am healthy, you know, sometimes. So, you know, it makes us get more creative and understand. So things like that, again, it doesn't make your life better, right? It just makes you more in tuned with seeing those things, and it changes the way you look at the world.
Mm-hmm. So say that you wake up in the morning and you're just not feeling great. What do you do to shift your mindset?
Sure. So, you know, one thing is my podcast, The Happy Healthy Human, my coaching company is the Happy Healthy Human Academy. So people ask me that, like, how do you be happy all the time? It's like, that's, you don't, that's not the goal. And that's impossible, right? It would be silly to think that's like saying, you know, how do I laugh all the time? Or how do I, you know, whatever. It's like, we don't control our emotions to that extent, but we can do certain things. So I have a morning routine. Again, it's a simple checklist. I love checklists. I love putting pen to paper. I think that there's something very real about when you actually have to write something down. So I have a 10-step morning routine that I have my clients and myself print out. And each time I check, check, check. So the first thing I do is wake up without a snooze, right? I think that's super important to start your day. Now, again, this isn't wake up early. This isn't wake up at 5 a.m. This is just wake up without a snooze. So whatever time you want to wake up, that's your time, but don't say I'm going to wake up at 8 and then snooze until 8:45, because that's setting a tone of I don't take myself seriously, right? If I tell myself I'm going to wake up at 8, then I'll wake up at 8. If I want to wake up at 8:45, that's fine, but I'll set my alarm for 8:45. I want to be, it's always about the signal that I'm sending my brain. But the second thing I do after I wake up with no snooze is what I call a touchdown affirmation. And touchdown affirmation is as soon as my feet touch down on the floor, I say an affirmation, and I use that touchdown as a trigger because every time, because I know that every morning my feet will have to touch the floor. It's the first thing I do every morning. So that's a trigger. So when my feet touch the door, I say, that's the door, the floor. When my feet touch the floor, I say, today is going to be a great day. And that inherently is a trigger that just makes me smile, because when I say that, I just smile, right? I can't help but do it. And then I do gratitude, and then I do some movement. And if I'm feeling froggy, then I'll do a cold shower. But just those things it makes it very hard for me to start my day negatively. So because I'm doing gratitude, because I'm starting my day with that affirmation. And then another super powerful one is actually starts the night before, is what I call my big three. So my big three are just the three things that if I do nothing else that day, if I accomplish these three things, then I had it, then I'm good enough, right? I the night before, I write out my big three, so that the next morning when I wake up, I don't have to feel so anxious. Because a lot of that feeling yucky is about like, oh my God, what am I going to do today? There's so much to do, blah, 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 blah. So the night before, I write out my big three. So the next day I know it's like, okay, this is what I have to do today. Can I do more? Of course. Sometimes I do a million things in a day. But if I do these three things, and I know what these three things are already, I know what I have to do. I know how I have to organize my day. If I can just do that, then at least my day is good. And sometimes I finish those things by 10 a.m. and it's like, okay, now I can read, or I can do whatever else I need. And sometimes it takes me all day, but the point is that I'm taking away that anxiety before it creeps in on me. So again, when I just stack all of those things on top of each other, it's not that it's impossible to have a bad morning. Of course, anything's possible, but it makes it much easier to flow into my day in a positive way.
That makes a lot of sense. I do something similar. I mean, everyone has their own version of this, I think, but, for people listening, if you're not an entrepreneur and you don't have control over your time, you can still do all of these things while you're working for somebody else. So I remember earlier in my career, I've worked for myself now for 10 years. And earlier in my career, I would make a list. So at the end of every day, I'd make a list. So it was like, these are the top priorities. And then I wasn't home at night ruminating on it and thinking like, okay, how am I going to fit these things in? So it's just another way to do that when you're working for someone else and when you don't get to control your time as much.
100%. And exactly right. It's just about it. The mind cluck. It's just decluttering a lot of that, you know, that those feelings of yuckiness, of anxiety, of overwhelm, it's a sense of not being in control. And that's hard when you aren't in control, right? Because you work for someone else. So they, you know, my boss is in control. The market is in control. There's always someone in control. Even as an entrepreneur, my clients are in control, right? So we want to give ourselves back a sense of control. And that's why, again, I love lists. I love writing things down. It doesn't change the fact of the reality, but it just gives you a feeling of like, okay, this is like within my control. It's very hard to live a happy, confident life when you feel like you're in the passenger seat, when life is happening to you, when you're running around putting out fires all the time. Now that very well may be the case. Again, you might be a mom with two kids and you work for someone else. So it's always, I have to do stuff for my kids, my husband, my boss or something like that. But you are still in control of your life when you can make certain decisions for yourself. And the more you can give that back to yourself, I think the better that feels, and the more you can silence, again, a little bit of that overwhelm in your head.
Yeah, definitely. If you were to, I had a question in my mind and it flew out of my mind. Let's see. So say that you're going into either a conversation, a presentation, something that you're anxious about. And so mind cluck in my experience, tends to go wild at those moments. And you'll get all kinds of messages about like, oh, this is going to suck, or you can't do this, or whatever. Mm-hmm. What do you do in those moments? So you got to silence it in the moment. What are your tricks?
Yeah. So, I mean, a big thing is to think about, because in that time, it's like, our brain is automatically going to what's the worst that can happen. So I like to do what's the worst that can happen, what's the best that can happen, and then what's the most probable. Because in reality, what's the worst that can happen is what our mind goes right to. What's the best that can happen? I mean, obviously that would be great. It's probably not going to happen either, but that's just as probable as what's the worst that can happen. So it's equally as probable. But then I find the middle ground and find out what's probably going to happen. And in those times, if I am honest with myself and think clearly, which is, again, hard because emotion takes over at this point. Mm-hmm. But the point is that most of the time, the thing that happens is average, because that's the definition of average, right? And we also have to remember that we are the star of our own show. No one else's, right? So this is a big part of this. In our brain, I am the lead role of planet Earth, and of 7 billion people, I matter the most. But I have to understand that to you, you're that to you, and every other person is that to us. So in our head, we go, oh my God, when I misspeak, everyone's thinking about what I said. Everyone's thinking about how dumb I am or something like that. It's like, they aren't. They actually don't care about you, because they're thinking about their own stuff. They're thinking about their own kid who is sick. They're thinking about the grocery shopping they have to do. Just like you're not thinking about them, they're not thinking about you. So, you know, I literally did a podcast episode about this a while back, and the title was "No One Cares About You, and That's a Good Thing." Right. And it's not to be mean, but when I say no one cares about you, it's like no one is thinking about you as much as you think about you. And this isn't to bash people or put you down. To me, it's a very freeing thing. It's like no one cares if you mess up. You care, maybe, but if you understand that, it's like no one is judging you. The moment, like, it's like when you spill something on your shirt at a party or something like that, you're like, oh my God, everyone's looking at me. It's like, no, they're not. Like, you, the moment you spilled it, they forgot about it. They went back to their conversations. They're doing their own thing. So if I can remember that like, it's not that big of a deal. What happens in this moment, like, is only important to me. It gives me a lot of freedom and a lot more wiggle room to try and to mess up, because that's the thing. What most people do is they think that they're like, oh, I just have to be perfect. I just have to not mess up, and then everything will be okay. What I want to do is give myself the freedom to mess up. And then what paradoxically happens is I don't actually mess up that much, because when I'm not holding myself so tightly, I give myself that freedom. I actually perform better. I speak better. I'm not so anxious. I'm not so shaky or whatever. And I actually am able to give all of myself to whoever I'm talking to. But it comes from giving myself the grace to not be perfect.
Yeah, I like that a lot, because I think it's so true, especially if you think about any kind of presentation, conversation, whatever, where you might be anxious and maybe you say something and you think, oh, I wasn't very articulate or whatever. But like you're saying, like, oh, well, right. And it's really good to, like you're saying, it's really good to give yourself that grace, because then you don't sit there like a total bundle of nerves, which then would make you forget the next thing you wanted to say or whatever. And instead you're like, okay, moving on.
Yeah. I learned this, you know, again, I worked at a gym for a long time. I was a personal trainer. And one of the biggest things that I would hear from people when they would first start with me, they'd be like, I'm actually embarrassed to kind of work out. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And it feels like everyone else is like, they know what they're doing so much and they're watching me. And I had to have this conversation with so many people. I'm like, they're not, they don't care about you. The gym has mirrors on all the walls. You know why? Because people want to stare at themselves. They have their big headphones on. They're staring at themselves in the mirror. It feels like to you, as soon as you walk in, everyone's looking at you. And then if you don't know what you're doing, they're like, oh my God, they're judging me. But in reality, one, they're not looking at you. Two, they're just as self-conscious as you, right? Mm-hmm. Again, their internal dialogue is doing the same thing that your internal dialogue is doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just like that. It's just getting out of that headspace again. And it's like, when you think about it like that, it's like, how self-centered am I to think that people actually care about me? It's like, you know, like it's silly, but it's what we naturally think as humans all the time. So if we can just take a step back and be, again, come back to realistic again, not what the worst possible outcome is, not what the best possible outcome is, but what's probably going to happen is I'm going to give this speech. It's going to be all right. I could have done better. I'll learn from it. I'll do better next time. And everyone else is going to go about their day. And that's probably what's going to happen most of the time.
Yeah, I like that. And another way to think of it is like, we're each here on our own journey. And I mean, some people don't like the word journey, whatever. You're here on your own life's path. And your path, like your, these paths are going on simultaneously, but it's, you're really like, you're doing this for you. You know, you're making choices and putting yourself forward for you ultimately. And letting go of what other people think is tremendously liberating.
Yeah. And exactly to that point, that this is a, the second point. So again, I would have the same conversation with people who are like, I don't want to, you know, I'm embarrassed to kind of work out at the gym. So the first thing I would say is exactly what I said before. People don't really care about you. They're not watching you as much as they think. But the second point is the point that you made, is that like, even if they were, this is your life. You can't let other people dictate your life success. You can't, if, especially when you're talking about something like exercise, right? It's like, if exercise is what is going to make you healthy, make you live longer, make you be able to have a better life with your kids, your grandkids, and you're going to let someone else take that away from you because they're judging you in the gym or something like that. It's like that, you can't do that. You can't live your life that way of being like, I'm not going to try. I'm not going to put myself out there because I might get judged by someone else. You're doing yourself a disservice hugely, but whenever you do yourself a disservice like that, you do a disservice to everyone around you, to your loved ones, to your employees, to your coworkers, to your bosses, to your kids, to your grandkids, to your nieces and nephews. Like the version of you that they need is the version that puts themselves out there, that pushes the boundaries, that tries and fails sometimes, but does it anyway, because they can get better from that. And like, when you don't do that, it's selfish to an extent, because what you're doing is you're taking the easy way out, right? Going back to the beginning of the conversation, is there's an easy and a hard. You're taking that easy way out because it's easy, but really the thing you need to do is push yourself to stretch yourself to try. And even if it means putting yourself in an uncomfortable situation or even failing at times, that's okay, because you grow at the end of that.
Right, right. I think that is so growth, like growth is never easy. Growth takes work. Growth takes energy. Growth takes risk. All of these things. Yeah, totally.
It's that is a, but that's the thing, right? It's the law of the universe. Growth takes struggle, right? A muscle grows when you work it. A plant grows only when it can take water and energy from the sun and turn it into growth. So it's like the thought of growth without struggle is literally impossible. That's, you know, that's like the sun not rising in the morning. It doesn't work like that. The only way you can get better is if you do something challenging on the front end. So it's like, if you are avoiding challenges at all costs, you're literally saying, I'm going to stay exactly where I am forever.
Right. And who wants to do that? So I think that is a great place for us to start to wrap up. Is there anything that you would like to share with our audience before we sign off?
Yeah, I would just want to appreciate anyone who is listening or checking this out. If anyone wants to see or hear more about what I'm doing, again, my podcast is The Happy Healthy Human. And if anyone wants, as I mentioned before, I have that vision casting worksheet. I also have the morning routine that I have, my 10-step morning routine called Win the Morning, Win the Day. I'm happy to give any and all of those things to anyone listening. If you could just reach out to me, all social media platforms, which is just my name, Paul Levitin on Instagram, on Facebook, on LinkedIn, wherever. Just shoot me a DM, say that you found me on Silence the Mind Cluck, and I'm happy to share all these resources with you.
Thanks so much. And for everyone listening, we'll have all of these links in the show notes when this show broadcasts. All right, Paul, thank you so much for being here today. And thanks for all that you've shared.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Okay, everyone, see you next time. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening. If you found this content helpful, please like, comment, and share across your social media. Are you sick of Mind Cluck clucking up your days? Book a free initial consult with me at mindcluck.com and let's silence it. Thanks and have a great week.